Welcome to the Good Health Workshop, a show about health, nutrition, cleansing, and detoxification. We will support you where you are and encourage you to reach your health goals. Our purpose is to share information, raise your level of consciousness, and to keep you inspired to transform your life. My name is Donna Perani, and today we have the very special Kathleen Steinler here, and she is a manual lymphatic drainage therapist. And welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you, Donna.
It's so great to have you here. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
So I have to tell you, I met Kathleen. I hope it's okay to say this. I met her, actually met her. She was referred to me by someone. Was that true? How did I meet you? I'm trying to think
now. I couldn't remember that myself. I know that it could have been one of your patients.
Uh-huh.
One of your clients that became my patient,
yeah.
A cancer survivor.
Could have been. And then I was very intrigued by this lymph drainage thing, and I thought, I want to try it because I like trying everything. And I came to see you, and I felt so good. And I immediately connected with it because I try to remember to take care of my lymph by doing a little dry brushing, which we'll talk about a little later in more detail. But I wanted the real deal. Like, I wanted to see you and, like, experience someone who's a professional who could really support my lymphatic system. And I felt so good that I had decided that I would see you, like, once a season or more if needed. And so I would love to share more about my experience with you as we have this conversation today. But it's just been wonderful that today we are going to talk about the topic of the lymph. And maybe you could share a little bit about your interest in this work and just about a little bit about you.
Well, I became a massage therapist because after I was hit by lightning in August of 93.
Let's stop there. Listen, folks, again. Hit by lightning in 1993?
Yes.
And you survived, obviously.
I did. But after that, I had a lot of neurological body pain, and the only people that could really help me were therapists, cranial, neuromuscular, all kinds of different therapists that were very in tune with the specifics of the body and could minister to healing.
Yes.
So through that experience, I ended up getting my own license as a therapist, and serendipitously was asked to go to a lymphatic course. And when I got there, the science of the lymph just really turned me on, because it's this living, pure water that carries healing white blood cells to places that need it, but at the same time, it's sending the waters of the body to clear out any toxins. So this is what prevents disease. When I saw the science of it, I was amazed at not only could this heal, but it could prevent. And it also, part of the healing process that the lymph does is it bathes all the nerve endings. So it stimulates the parasympathetic, which helps you sleep. There's no healing without the parasympathetic being stimulated. Mm-hmm. So it's this deep cleansing, calming waters of the body. It's partner with the venous system. And these arteries in your body are it's pumping out red blood to every cell in the body, and they are porous, and the pores of the arteries are much bigger than the pores of the veins, so the veins can't really soak up some of the big molecules, and so the lymph goes behind and opens up and receives those molecules and pumps them back into the venous system in different places.
Wow. The lymph is very important, and I think people overlook it completely. We have so much emphasis in our society about weight loss and how we look. And then people are, you know, a little more conscious that, about moving and exercise, and they understand that. And it's, people are concerned about their heart health. But the lymph is a big piece. If your lymphatic system is not working right, then you're vulnerable. It's in part, my understanding, is in part what causes cancer.
Well, when the lymph doesn't overcome the cancer, the lymph has to... It's the lymph's job to take care of any kind of disease, from a, you know, a mosquito bite when they inject you with their little venom, or a cancer cell. Mm. So and so, if the lymphatics are moving freely and without hindrance and at a good rate, then they're successful. If as we age, the lymphatics slow down. You mentioned weight loss, and that's an interesting point in that the way they discovered the lymph, because it's clear, it took them a long time to find it. And the way they discovered it was after digestion, because the lymphatics digest lipids, so the water became milky with the fat molecules. So it's a great thing to do while people are dieting. They lose weight faster. But it's the only thing that is prescribed for moving water off a limb that has edema, that's swollen with fluid.
Wow.
So that's the only way to move fluid off a limb.
And you mentioned a little something about sleep in your wonderful description. So could it be possible that some people are having issues with sleep, they're missing this, they're not having a good, healthy lymphatic system?
Well, it is very helpful for sleep. I find my patients always sleep well after a treatment. But, you know, sleep is a really complicated thing. One of the other things the lymph does is move hormones. Hormones actually have a lot to do with how we sleep. And then there's all kinds of sleep hygiene, you know. There's putting away your iPad or your computer, you know, looking at screens, even television. There's all kinds of sleep hygiene. It's much more complicated than just a quick fix of lymphatics.
And my understanding about the lymph is mixed with, I guess, lymph cells and blood, like they sort of work together, it sounds like, from what you were describing. And then the job is that it's moving poisons and toxins through and out of the body. Is that correct?
That's right. It's moving molecules. So, you know, every living thing is designed to have waste and to build and decay. And so the lymph system is there working to make a healthy environment for the new cells that are always being born and moving the old cells out.
Hmm. And why is it important? I mean, I would think some people would think, why would they need a lymph drainage? Like, doesn't the body just take care of that itself?
You know, the lymph system is amazing, and it does do an amazing job at taking care of itself, but it can get hindered. So for example, when somebody has breast cancer and they remove even a sentinel node, there's still, your body has, this lymphatic system is transporting fluid and toxins and so on. So it has a load. And a transport load. And once your body is taken off balance, where the load is heavier than what your body can manage, then you find a problem. But amazing things like when, you know, there's situations where they've taken all the lymph nodes from an axilla or from a hip. And the body can reroute the lymph to another place where there are lymph nodes. It's really important that the lymph nodes are intact for the lymph from the other part of the body. That there's lymph in every square inch of the body except for your the lens of your eye and a small place on your inner ear.
Wow.
So, and they're all, it's in territories. It's like streams on the earth. It's like the topography of the earth, really. You know, it's like all these streams flowing into an ocean. And the lymph nodes are like the ocean, and they're processing plants, and they process the good from the bad, and they hold back the bad and send the good back to the heart.
Hmm. Is there a certain direction the lymph moves in? Does it tend to move in a certain way?
It does. Like the head and neck are flowing down, but the torso is divided in half down the middle, the down your sternum, and it's flowing out to each axillary, to each armpit. So you're having sort of at a diagonal from the waist up on half your body. It's going to one armpit. Your arms flow up toward the armpit. Your legs flow up through the belly. Your belly has to be nice and clear for your leg, the flow of the lymph in your legs to have total freedom. So the back comes around to the front. If you're in a fetal position, all your lymph nodes would be protected except for the one on the outside of your ankle.
Hmm. So it's like a map.
It's really a map. And you can learn to feel where the flow is going, because if it's hindered, it needs to find a new route.
And would you call this, because it's a lymph drainage, some people I think will call it a massage, but it's not really that much pressure in my experience. So how would you describe that?
Well, under your skin are, you know, a huge percentage of the lymphatics are very superficial, but then they go deeper in the muscles. And the superficial lymphatics, I'm really just using your skin to kind of surf those waters, and I pump so that the pumping action just really stimulates the pumps that are inside the lymph vessels and makes them work a lot better. It's kind of like hiring a house cleaner.
Kind of like what I do with the colonics. You know, I deal with people's internal plumbing in terms of the colon, but you're dealing with the lymph, and, you know, it is vitally important to keep that lymph moving. I've in all the books that I read, it always refers to stagnation of the lymph. You know, the term is used a lot. And I know that in my groin area, there's some lymph nodes, and there's always one that feels a little harder than the others, so I always think that one is a little congested is the word.
And lymph nodes are like tiny little pearls, and as they hold things, they get bigger and bigger, so they can get quite swollen. If you have an infection in a tooth, your lymph nodes in your neck might get swollen. But anyways, just a simple little pumping. They have one little evacuation door, and a simple little pumping in the direction of the way that the lymph evacuates from the lymph node clears that, and that lymph node empties. And that's actually the first step, is I open up all the lymph nodes so that then they're ready to receive the other lymphatics that I'm surfing into the place.
So it's the vessels into the nodes?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, it's a very, it's almost like you're feathering me a little bit when you're working on me, and it's a very precise thing that you do in terms of you having the movement going in a certain direction. So it's totally, I sense that you are really thinking throughout the whole process. And you're very intuitive, so I know that you're kind of listening, too, in a sense of what the body needs and where you're directed to work. Because the body, you spend a lot of time working on someone's body and the entire body in terms of the lymph, but then there's key places probably that you focus on more so with people.
Right. You know what's amazing too is that you can even... The organs are covered with lymphatics, and then they're riddled with it on the inside. So there's even lymph work that can be done on the organs, on the liver and the lung. And it's just, as you are working on someone's lymph, you can feel when you're finished, you know, when an area is pumping at its optimal rate. Mm.
Kind of, I can relate to that with the colonic too. I can sense when the system is slowing down and it's done, and it's time to let it rest. So I guess that's our sign. We'll be right back with more of the Good Health Workshop.
Catskills Radio, CatskillsRadio.com.
You're listening to the Good Health Workshop, and I'm Donna Peroni, and you are listening to NewYorkTalkRadio.net, also CatskillsRadio.net, .com.
Right.
Sorry. And we're here with Kathleen Steinler, and this topic of lymph health, I just love that we're talking about this today. It's just so, so important. And again, I think people just they're not even aware of it. So it's a great topic. But Lee, our engineer, on our little break, he shared a little story with us about a friend. He had a question. So, Lee, go ahead.
Right. I have a friend who had a serious problem. His leg was really swelled up. So he went to the VA, and they gave him some pills, went home, and didn't do anything. And he went back to the VA, and they gave him some more pills. And you happened to mention about limbs with fluid that the lymph is involved. So I was just kind of curious your take on it.
Right. The especially when legs swell, it can be an issue. One of the contraindications for lymph drainage is a heart problem. So that's usually ankle swelling, but not leg swelling. But it happens a lot. People come to me with swollen legs that haven't been able to be reconciled. And the pills they give are diuretics. And this is kind of, this will work at getting off some fluid, but it never addresses the fact that after the lymphatic vessels have sat under a bunch of swelling, sometimes it's even less likely to get jump-started again. Also, I mentioned earlier that it's really important for the lymphatics in the stomach to be nice and open, so because everything from the legs flows through the stomach. So it's just every patient that's ever come with their legs swollen or their arms swollen have just been so relieved to have somebody put their hands on them and move that fluid out. Sometimes it requires a short stretch bandaging to keep the work that I've done at bay. Otherwise, the water will just move back in on the limb. But and then sometimes it needs compression hose, and that can be over the counter or special measured for the patient after their limb is brought down to a normal, natural size. But it happens for different reasons. Like, it can happen because lymph nodes have been removed, or it can happen because of a trauma. They've had an accident. It could be a car accident.
Well, he hasn't had a great diet also. He consumes a fair amount of alcohol besides, which might contribute to it, and I guess the bacon doesn't help either.
Salt, yeah. But it's just one leg, right? It's not both
yeah,
legs.
Yeah, it's one leg.
So obviously what happened is the load, that the transport load that lymphatics in that particular leg were carrying got overwhelmed with what ended up being in the body. Excuse me.
Could not move those poisons and toxins through because it was overwhelmed by the situation, the condition.
Right, but it's so then a lymphatic therapist's job is to go in and manually do to the limb what the lymphatics would do if they could move.
Mm. And that lightens the load, and then it could reset, hopefully?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like a colonic.
Yeah, it's very much like that. Yeah. The body has its ways of moving, and that's actually the most important thing to the body is movement. Everything moves. All, you know, we don't realize it, but everything's moving. All the cells are moving. Our organs have a certain motion, and if they get stuck, then that's when we start hurting.
Yes. It's an energetic thing,
right?
Also, well, my experiences with you range. My doctor had said I had a little something going on in my left breast, and you know, body's been changing, you know. But I went and I got my first mammogram, which I really didn't want to do, but I did it. And I got a thermogram, I had a sonogram, I had the whole thing. And they said it was sort of like a cousin of a fibroid, and it was nothing to worry about. But I went to see you, and you worked on the breast area, and it was there when I came in, and when I was lying on the table, I found it. And then you worked on it, and it seemed to have gone down. So I wonder if it was that what they said it was, and maybe had something to do with the lymph. Regardless, within a few weeks, you know, after having the lymph drainage and just doing a lot of extra dry brushing, it went away completely. It was just gone, and it hasn't been a problem for like 2 years now. So, so it was really, I believe, due to the fact that that summer I was wearing kind of like the strapless bras with the underwire to make my little fashion statement. And it was cutting into my lymphatic system. And so I burn those bras now.
You're liberated. Yeah.
Who needs that? And it was very uncomfortable. And I was just like, what am I doing to myself? I'm into all this healthy living, and then I'm ruining myself with a bra.
The last bra burning I went to was in the 70s.
You know, there's a lot that you're doing. So your diet is, I mean, you do as much as you know to do. So that's like, how did that even have a chance, you know? And as soon as you found out what, or figured out what was the cause, you got rid of it. So you know, it wasn't yeah. just the lymph drainage that got rid of that, but it facilitated your body in what it wanted to do anyway.
Well, I think my lifestyle would support that it may not turn into something more serious.
Right.
But, you know, if the lymph in that area of my body is
Hindered.
That's
by a
not,
wire.
Yeah, that's not.
It's just the tiniest little bit of pressure, you know. It's very easy to take those underwire bras and just make a little slit and pull that wire out. Mm. And then it's just a little piece of padding. It also compresses a little more than the rest of the bra, but not in a wire way.
Except it'll fall down to my belly button.
No, not unless it's a lacy bra.
Right.
There are ways. They hold together really well. Those bras hold together really well without the wire.
Mm.
But the other thing, there's a book out called Dress to Kill, and it's about a lot of women's clothing. And the underwire bra is mentioned in that book as congesting the lymph in the breast.
I remember that book. That's right. I also had an experience where when I had my thermography, she alerted me that I had a lot of lymphatic fluid that was going from sort of the heart all the way down to my kind of my belly button. And it's funny, I was having some sensations as if it was like right around my belly button, a little tender. And they actually showed me how to do a little bit of work to open up
the cisterna chyli,
I believe. And what she said is it usually happens because of stress. And yeah. I had a really stressful week about 2 weeks ago. Mercury's been kind of going, it's been in retrograde, and oh my God, so much was happening this 1 week. And then you came to town and you worked on me, and I feel much better, but I could feel that area was bothering me. And for me, it's stress-related that caused that particular lymph to become stagnant, and you helped to make it feel better.
Yeah, stress is something that kind of freezes up a lot of things, right? It's probably the worst health hazard there is, right?
Yes.
Because even if we're facing other health issues, if we can be calm in the face of adversity,
yes,
we do a lot better.
It's true. And then the other experience I had was I was having some sinus issues after having a little bit of a head cold, and then jumping on a plane, going to Costa Rica, being at high altitudes. And I came back, and my sinuses were not happy. And I was just like, what is going on? And part of the recovery was seeing you for a few sessions. And you literally put a glove on your hand, and you worked on my sinuses over the gum line. And you worked on my face and my head. And I walked out of your space feeling like there was so much more space in my head. And I literally could feel the drainage had occurred. And it wasn't like I was blowing my nose or having anything like that. I was just having these kind of sharp little jutty pains in the back of my head. And you really helped with that process. So even someone like me who eats pretty healthy because of what we're exposed to on a daily basis, you know, we need extra support, like getting a colonic once in a while, like taking care of our lymph. It's a really important practice, so then we don't wind up in a doctor's office on a few prescriptions.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that their sinuses go all through their gums.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will think that they have a toothache and go in for x-rays, and the dentist says there's nothing there, and it's really just congested sinuses. So most people think of their sinuses right under their eyes on this, each side of their nose or above their eyebrows. But the sinuses go all through the gums. And actually, the mouth work with the lymphatics can be really powerful because I think it is a place that we detox quite a bit.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, just for our listeners and for myself, exactly where are our lymph nodes?
Well, the most important lymph nodes start in the collarbone. So on both sides of the collarbone, but on the left side especially, there's the lymph nodes that are attached to either the jugular or the subclavian vein that take the lymph back to the heart. So the lymph is flowing through the body and ultimately ends up in your clavicle to be taken back to the heart. Then you have lymph nodes under your up both sides of your neck under the sternocleidomastoid. You have a lot of lymph nodes just under your ear, a circle of lymph nodes. You have lymph nodes in your chin bone. There's one at the very front of your chin, and then there's one on each side. There's a big patch of lymph nodes right in front of your ears on your cheeks. Then there's lymph nodes under your armpits. That's the axillary fold. And then there's lymph nodes that are kind of on the underside of the arm that lead into the axilla, and beside the breast that lead up to the axilla. There's this Mascagni pathway, which is this really nice fold between your shoulder and your breast. That has some lymph nodes. There's lymph nodes beside your sternum. On each side of your sternum, those clear the lungs. And there's lymph nodes inside each rib. And then there's lymph nodes, a ton of lymph nodes in the belly, because that's a huge place of toxic waste, you know, that's being processed to be evacuated. So there's a lot of lymph nodes everywhere that germs could get in. There's a lot of lymph nodes by your mouth. There's a lot of lymph nodes, you know, in your belly.
Your groin also.
Your groin. There's lymph nodes behind your knee, and then there's some on the outside of your ankle. And there's lymph nodes also deep in your hip bones. And they clear the lower part of they clear your pelvis. And things from the lymph from your legs moves through the ones in your groin, and then up into the pelvis, and then through the belly. And the largest lymph vessel in the whole body is the cisterna chyli. It has three little legs. One fiber for each leg to receive the lymph from each leg, and then one for the whole intestinal tract. Mm-hmm. But there's just the belly is just full of lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
On many levels.
I was just going to ask a quick question.
Sure.
So all this the waste goes back to the heart?
No, the clean stuff goes back
to the
heart.
Oh, how does the other stuff
get
evacuated?
The heart is the home of the lymph.
Right.
And then the other stuff gets processed through the through the lymph nodes and evacuates through any waste evacuation, but mostly, I think, through the bladder. So, you know, your skin, your intestines, and your bladder are the big ways to...
In reading about colon health, I had read a little bit about how some of the lymph is being drained through the colon as well. But when I had asked you about this, you felt it was more so with the bladder. But
After a lymph session, most people have to go to the... urinate.
Ah. Yeah.
So that, just from experience, makes me think.
But I know there is some action that's happening where it's going in because it is the garbage pail, the colon. So I would think that it's important to empty a garbage pail.
And the lymphatics are the garbage disposal, right? So they're,
There's got to be a connection there for sure.
But also your skin evacuates for you, too.
So... Is it possible if somebody's having an issue with a skin condition, could they benefit with having their lymph worked
definitely.
On?
Oh, definitely.
It's vast.
Very amazing.
It's really vast.
You know, National Geographic has a book called The Amazing Machine about the body, and their chapter on the lymph is called The Healer Within. And it's really true. The lymphatic system is at work, always working to heal us 24/7.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just love that we're making people aware of the importance of it, whether they're sick or whether they're well.
Right.
But I imagine you are seeing a lot of people with cancer.
Yes. Or recovered cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And they've had lymph node dissection. I do have some patients that have not recovered, and they're coming. And sometimes I feel that if they haven't had enough medical care, like having the tumor removed or something like that, that it's possible that the body is confused. For one thing, the fact that cancer gets to survive in our bodies means the body is confused, can't recognize it, doesn't know how to get rid of it. And And even the cancer cells can disguise themselves as friend instead of foe. And so I really feel like the medical community plays an important part in removing tumors, because the tumors are just a big thing for the lymph to have to overcome. And certainly it has. I've heard many, many success stories of people shedding their tumors. But I say, why not make it as easy as possible without damaging the lymph? You know,
sure.
Just give it that helping hand.
And there is, I guess, a fine line, because if somebody is coming and doing a lot of lymph drainage with you, and let's say they still have the tumor in their body, I guess you don't want to create too much circulation with that.
Right. I don't want the tumor to use my work for its advantage.
Right. So there's a real, that's an important point. There's a balance of how much is enough and when to step back and when to come back in for more work.
Well, especially in cancer situations. I mean, there are people that believe you shouldn't touch the lymph at all until the cancer is clear. And then there's other people that believe that the lymphatics are what are going to conquer the lymph. And so even people getting chemo, to have lymph drainage while you're having chemo makes that chemo spread very efficiently through the body and moves it out of the body faster. So it's a poison that's poisoning the cancer, but it's moving out in a judicious way.
Yeah, you want it to do its thing and then move out if you're choosing that direction.
Right.
And what exactly is a lymphedema?
That can be either born without enough lymph vessels to carry the load. I've talked about before, you know, that your lymph has a transport capacity and that your body has a load that has to be carried. And so sometimes people are born without enough lymph in a certain limb, and then it's a very high maintenance kind of work where you need this manual lymph drainage to move the fluid off the limb to do what the lymph would do if it was more prevalent. And then they have to be bandaged, and then they have to wear compression garments. They have to be very careful about their skin because their skin is vulnerable. Then there's a secondary lymphedema that's caused by surgeries or lymph node dissection, and that's also treated in a similar way.
Well, thank you. We're going to take a break now. We'll be right back with more on this topic. Be right back.
Catskills Radio, CatskillsRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Good Health Workshop on NewYorkTalkRadio.net and CatskillsRadio.com. And we are talking to Kathleen Steinler. And I wanted to just share a little bit of how you can get in touch with Kathleen, or at least actually learn more about this topic and her. You can check out her website, lymphdrainage.nyc.com, and there you could also find an email address and, you know, any details there. I'd like to mention that when she is in town, she sees people at my wellness center, Gravity East Village. Actually, she's here now, and she's really, like, hopping that Gravity, really, you know, very busy, keeping her pretty busy, seeing people, and I just love having her at Gravity East Village. So it's a privilege, and I just feel so blessed that you're doing that. You are not living in New York anymore, but you do pop in. But I know you love the country.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things we're sort of taking it as it comes. Kathleen has 17 years experience at this point, so it's very hard for me to bring someone else in. But I see the popularity of people wanting this, so I may be looking into someone who lives here that could continue with this work at Gravity. So I wanted to just finish up a little bit, because there was a little something else you wanted to share about our topic on cancer.
Yeah, oncologists and, you know, breast surgeons doctors have come to support lymph drainage quite a bit. At one point, they didn't know anything about it. But oftentimes, doctors will even recommend to their patients to see a lymphatic therapist once their surgery is over and so on, because the recovery rate is enhanced and things go so much better for people. So it is really good when the medical community works together with the patient at a total recovery.
And so they should maybe, if they have any question about whether this would be right for them, if they are dealing with a serious illness, they should check with their doctor.
Yes.
Yes. Beautiful. And does this type of therapy, is it generally covered by insurance?
It especially is if you are a cancer survivor. They passed a law that insurance has to pay for lymph drainage therapy and compression therapy. So, yes, it is covered, but insurances can be difficult. They cannot pay, so oftentimes you have to pay up front, but then there are places where they're just set up to bill the insurances, and those are good places to plug into if you have insurance.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about what people can do for themselves, what kinds of practices they can do to take care of their lymph in between the time they could see a therapist like you. What do you suggest?
Well, I think the best thing for the lymphatics is learning to do it yourself with your own hands. You know, this very special little pumping movement, surfing, pumping. But swimming is great, using a rebounder, a little trampoline. And dry brushing, I find dry brushing to be really great for the nervous system as well. So, and I like to use it in a way where you're going with the direction of the lymphatics. And dry brushing is a very easy thing to do.
Yes, before. I have my yerba brush. So for those of you who don't know what that is, if you've been to a health food store, I hope you all go regularly to buy your organic food. But you'll see these kind of like natural fiber brushes with like a long wooden handle, and they'll be hanging up, and people will think they're using those in the shower. But they're really, as far as I'm concerned, meant to be used for this practice of dry brushing. So you would always take the natural bristle brush, and you are stroking towards the heart, because you want the blood to move towards the heart. So, and you could do long strokes, even strokes. And I'm kind of, you can hear that. And you can do your arms, under your arms, your legs, all moving towards the heart, your butt, your back, your neck, all in that direction. And I think it's a great practice to do when you're getting dressed. So I keep mine like in the drawer near where I keep my clothes, and then I'm still naked, right? So, oh, there's the brush, because I always think of it once I have the clothes on and then I have to take the clothes off. So in the underwear drawer is very nice, I find. And then I use it, I try to use it every day. Some people like to use it before they get into a shower, but we wouldn't use it in the shower when the skin is wet, because I believe it's a little, could be, the skin can be kind of sensitive to the brush. So you want to do it as a dry brush, not a wet brush technique.
Yeah, my partner Rio does it every day. I guess I should start doing it too.
Yeah.
You know, I like to get two brushes, especially for the legs. And I use two brushes on the legs and the whole lower body. Well, actually, even the torso. And you can only use one brush on the arms because the other hand is having to be still.
Right.
But it's even great double-fisted.
Yes, I love that. And I have to tell you that any of you out there in Radioland that need a cup of coffee in the morning or even in the afternoon, one way to get over that is to dry brush, because I instantly feel more alert. I feel very clear. It's a wonderful practice if you want to avoid a stimulant in your life, is to dry brush.
Right, and it's great to keep by the bedside, because if you do it very gently and slowly, it's very calming, and it takes away pain, I find. You know, if you have a little pain in your hips or something, it'll take the pain right away. There's something about I believe it's like a nerve stroke that just confuses the nerve endings a little bit. And
I can see that, yes.
If you have somebody who's a pain in the neck, will it take that away?
No.
Once a pain in the neck, always a pain in the neck. And let's talk a little bit about the rebounder, or they call it lymphocyzing.
Yeah, I find that that's a very nice way to exercise. You know, the lymph doesn't like to be overworked. So like marathon runners, after a marathon, their lymph is exhausted, and they really need help from a lymphatic therapist. And the rebounder is just something that kind of gets it stimulated with jumping. Mm. You know.
So for those people who don't know what we're talking about, you can buy a mini trampoline. They cost like $300 at the most, I think.
Oh, I think you can get one for $100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, but I wouldn't recommend like cheapy ones, because the spring system should be springy. Like you should be able to turn it over and see there's a lot of these little springs on it, because if you jump on it and it doesn't feel like it gives just a little bit, my understanding from someone who was selling these rebounders, that it's actually stressful on the nervous system. So you want a good one like a NEDAC, and that's NEEDAK. I don't sell them, so don't ask me. But you can find them online. There was a guy named Ed Lieb here in the city who was selling them. I'm not sure if he's still selling them. But they fold up. So if you have a small apartment in New York City, they do fold up, and you can put them in the closet. I leave mine out and open, but the legs kind of fold in, so I can sort of put it against the wall so it's ready to be used. Some people use them as little tables or footrests.
My cat uses mine.
There you go.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yes. So we just have to remember to get on it ourselves. I also find that if I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling a little pissed off at someone for some reason, jumping on it and kind of yesing whatever is that thing that's gotten under my skin, that issue, I feel much better. I feel like I can move out the irritation emotionally just by hopping on the rebounder for even 10 seconds. But I tend to, when I get on it, I aim for about 5 minutes at a time. But if you wanted to use it as an exercise, you could, on average, build up to about 20 minutes on there. You could do 5 minutes in the morning. You could do 5 minutes in the evening. If it's someone who's older and not very mobile, they could just even a minute, you know. And it's not necessary to jump on it like a trampoline. You could do a health bounce, which is a very gentle, light little bouncing on it.
You can march. You can walk.
You could jog on it.
You can even walk on it. It's very good for your balance, I think, too.
Yeah.
As you age.
Yes. I've heard stories of elderly, sick people being put on the rebounder and then people kind of pushing on it, so the person would just bounce a little. They weren't doing anything, and they actually became more alert, and they seemed to improve just with that much.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the rebounder. I've had mine meant for many, many years, and I like to practice yoga, and then the last 5 minutes I'll do some rebounding. It's kind of like my cardio, too. So,
yeah, and you can get a trainer to train you with these rebounders, and it's really very core working.
Yes.
So it's very good for your core strength.
I do calisthenics on it. I move my arms in all different ways. If you really get the hang of it, you could take maybe like 2-pound dumbbells, but you got to be careful you don't drop them and they break something. But you could do some very never heavy weights, but you can do some very light weights. You could do some little bicep curls or work your triceps or your shoulders with them. Some people will have maybe ankle weights possibly too. So you can really get a good workout. I've seen people pretty fit using the rebounder. So I definitely think it's a good thing. Everyone should have at home. And if you have a headache or some ailment like that or a sinus infection, I think it's a wonderful thing to get on there because you might get rid of the headache, which has happened.
Get things moving.
Yeah. So you may get an immediate benefit by...
In a gentle way.
In a gentle way. So that's something you can do every day. So, Kathleen, maybe to inspire some of our listeners, do you have maybe a favorite healing story or two for us?
Yeah, I love when the lymph surprises us, you know, and does something really great. But, you know, the lymph is even moving through bones. And so I had a rock climbing instructor who had shattered his leg and still had it quite a few screws in it, and he wore a compression garment, still carried that big heavy pack to keep on teaching. But he would come to me, and I was really impressed with how his body responded to the lymph drainage, because you know, if something on the very deep layer like a bone is holding fluid, it makes the tissue outside of the bone also hold fluid in a small way. Anyway, he would come for regular treatments, and it was just amazing to watch the healing that happened. And it wasn't a fresh injury either. It was an older injury. You know, I've been amazed at how bruises can clear. It's a wonderful thing when somebody comes to you and they feel like they're wearing winter boots. You know, their normal legs are so heavy that they're wearing winter boots and they walk out feeling barefoot. You know, or to see a limb come back down to a normal size is very rewarding.
What can a person expect if they had a lymphatic drainage session? You know, do they need to prepare? Is there anything
not
special?
Really. You know, not really. You know, to be prepared to listen to your body. If you go out and you're very tired, to be able to take a nap, you know. But you might go out feeling on top of the world, like you just got set free. So that's...
And is there anything else before we kind of wrap up today that you would want our listeners to know about this topic?
Well, you know, the lymphatics are a very quiet they're like an unsung hero. You know, there's not something that's obvious that most people don't even know about, that they have a lymphatic system. So it's just a very subtle, slow system that's very persistent. You know, if you have an injury, like say a direct blow to an ankle, a sprained ankle, that ankle will be underwater for 2 weeks, and the lymphatics all around that swelling will be working at clearing that swelling. So it's just a really great system that's always working for us, and we don't even know it. And it's just great to honor it, you know, just to be aware that from anything, from a pimple to a big wound, that the lymphatics are an important part of what's healing us.
Well, it's been my pleasure to host this show today and have you as our guest. I hope you enjoyed this as well.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm sure the listeners are going to be very grateful for this information. So once again, to find out more about Kathleen Steinler, you can go to lymphdrainagenyc.com. She spells her last name S, like Sam, T-E-I-N-D-L-E-R. And, of course, I want to mention my wellness center, Gravity East Village. We're located downtown in New York City, and we specialize in colon hydrotherapy. We have a far-infrared sauna, brand-new sauna. Come and use our sauna. You can come with a friend. We have packages. And also we have two wonderful massage therapists that are terrific at working on difficult spots. We have tapping with Julia Lucas. We have Reiki now. We've just everything just keeps building and building more. And of course, nutrition. I do nutritional consultations. I also teach workshops and host events. And that is through Accent on Wellness. I've been hosting events since 1995, free or affordable events in New York City, emphasizing raw foods and just healthy lifestyle. And so you can check out the events at gravitiesvillage.com, or you can also go to accentonwellnessnyc.com. If you'd like to book an appointment with us at Gravity, please call my office. I also offer colonics myself. You could see me at 212-388-9788. I want to thank Lee for providing this opportunity to be creating this show each month, and I also want to thank Pete Calandra for our wonderful music that just kind of gives our show a little style. So thank you so much for Kathleen.
Thank you.